Hello, and welcome back to Hindsight 2020. Say hello, players.
Hello, players.
Yes, welcome back. Had a little bit of a cliffhanger on our last one as we're kind of wandering off into the wilderness. That's kind of, I guess we haven't really truly done that this campaign yet. So we have some, hopefully some exciting things coming for y'all. Before we get into anything, though, we do need to talk about our recipe for this week. Sarah, would you please?
Shambling mounds are fearsome foes. But now you can defeat them by eating them. Okay, hear me out. Take your 5-6 favorite flavors of cereal. You can buy one of those mixed packs. And you're going to make huge shambling mound sized marshmallow treats with them. It's so easy and so fun. Really, you only require 3 ingredients, a mix of cereals, a bag of mini marshmallows, and a little bit of butter. And these whip up in maybe 10 minutes and they last for days. It's super fun to make for your kids or with your kids, and you can all kind of cut off a piece.
Thank you for that, Sarah. Let's go ahead and jump on in. All right, so previously, while in Grunheim, the party had the opportunity to have some conversations with prior acquaintances at the Bows of Folly. Ziggy chatted with Arno, a dashing, boisterous tiefling fellow, about their arcane pistols, Flint and Hammer, as well as the nature of Galnir crystals and Arno's prior involvement with a group called the Iron Spikes. Meanwhile, Marion and Boko had a bit of a conversation with Archimedes Softpaw Longfellow, an orange tabby tabaxi who is in a bit of a dejected state after failing to keep his ruse or scheme together long enough to make it to Asant, much less make it to Morrow and gain access to the academy therein. After a good night's rest, Ziggy brought the other members of the consultants to the Civic Center, where he introduced them to Tara Tannable, an older human woman with gray hair and a green-gray vest, who is Grunheim's fountains keeper. She informed the party that the banks of the Erling River had been running dry for a week or two, which was affecting her upkeep of both the fountains and gardens of Grunheim. Additionally, though the forest itself remains lush and green, the town is beginning to run low on potable water for the townsfolk. Though not yet an emergency, Tara would like to remedy the situation before it becomes an emergency. Several days prior, a search party led by a local woodworker named Lathor traveled upstream to see if they could determine the nature of the river's disturbance. In the absence of any form of status update or message, Tara became nervous and asked the party to go investigate. After a quick contract, the party went on their way up to the gray banks of the Erling River. While traveling up the banks, it was mostly uneventful, as they headed off in the direction of the Moatenmoor Marsh and the Storland Basin beyond. But the party did accidentally encroach upon a mother owlbear ready and willing to defend her territory. Ziggy, thinking quickly, used his hoverboard to get all the party together and escape to the safety of the far side of the riverbanks, presumably beyond the reach of the owlbear's territory. After a day's travel and a night's rest, the party continued upstream. Fairly early in the day, a hint of music was heard on the breeze, and the party was drawn from the riverbanks by the shape of a woman swirling in the leaves. They came to a clearing where a dryad took form, flanked by a small collection of pixies and sprites. The dryad had a long, slender face, with the left side a bit old and blackened, and decaying even. And we left with her saying the words, Antale tie anedule, ni maure asealia. And that's where we are now. Does anyone speak Sylvan?
No.
Yes!
No.
I thought I would be Sylvan! I need to re-record this!
Is that a yes?
Marion speaks Sylvan.
My wife suddenly busts out having, like, studied a fantastical language in college or something.
I speak Sylvan fluently. Forget Mary.
Does anyone speak Elvish?
No.
Ziggy does.
Ziggy does. Okay. So,
Boko just blinks blankly.
So this is Sylvan. Marion would have understood the words spoken. Thank goodness that you've come. We need your help. I'm essentially treating Elvish as a derivation of Sylvan, kind of like if you can speak like Spanish or Italian or even some French, you might recognize some of the root words that come from Latin and therefore some of the basic nouns. So Ziggy, not fully understanding, but you'd be able to pick up the use of like words like goodness and help and need, other like some more specific, like general words and nouns, even if the verb conjugation is a little odd. And here we are.
I'll respond automatically in Sylvan.
All right.
What is it that you need help with?
Well, you see, there's been a little bit of a problem with the forest has been slowly corrupting. And I fear it's my sister, and I fear she's beyond my aid.
I'm just gonna tug Marion's shirt sleeve and go,
What did she say?
I think it was the forest is corrupting her sister.
She has a sister? Do you know her sister, Marion?
And she thanked us for something?
She said that she needs help.
Oh.
I'll look at the dryad again and ask, does this have to do with the water missing?
I think that it might.
She thinks that whatever she knows about the forest slowly corrupting has to do with the water.
That's convenient. Has she seen Lathor, was it? And the other volunteers?
That's a great question, Boko. And I'll look back at the dryad and say, in Sylvan, have you encountered anyone else? They sent a party ahead of us to
I try and mime woodcutter.
Yes, woodworker.
And then I go, oh, no. Woodworker, hammer motion.
I have not seen anyone specifically, but I don't doubt that that she could have done something to them. I'm sorry.
I just nod pensively.
Perhaps better introductions are required here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Please.
Well, my name is Enye.
Her name is Enye.
And my... my sister was known as Leiden.
How do you spell that, DM?
So this is going to be... yes, I did just look up a bunch of Irish names with their spelling, with their pronunciation. So, N-E-A is actually...
Go phonetically.
E-I-T-H-N-E. It's an older version of Enya, actually. And then Leiden is actually L-I-A-D-A-N... with an accent over the I.
This is Enye, and her sister, who seems to be causing some problem, is Leiden. Do you know where your sister is?
I think that I might be able to direct you in the general direction. This has frankly been a long time coming, and well, I think it's something that we need to, unfortunately, someone else needs to put a stop to, for I cannot.
And why is that?
She motions to the blackened, decaying, broken leaves on the left side of her face. I've already tried.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you know, are their sisters also dryads?
That's a great question. I'm going to ask.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's very good. Her sister is a problem. And honestly, if both of you are up for it, maybe we can help here and we might kill two birds with one stone. Boko. Oh, we might be able to solve two problems at once.
You wouldn't want to kill me with a stone. That would be counterproductive.
I'm in.
Enye, does your sister, does she look like you? Is she a drad as well?
Well, she is, and she isn't.
That's a yes and a no, Boko.
To the dryad question? Or the birds?
Beg your pardon, to the dryad question.
Okay. And I'm going to ask an Elvish.
That's very complicated.
Are there more of you?
And she looks at you and responds in Elvish.
Cool.
There are a few. Most of us keep to the wood, keep to ourselves, occasionally blurring the barrier between this world and the more of the Fae realm. But I'm afraid that my sister has become something a tad different.
Do you know why?
I have my guesses.
Do you want to elaborate on those guesses?
Am I the only one who doesn't speak Dryad in this group?
Ziggy's definitely not speaking Sylvan.
Sounds the same to me.
Very similar. I'm only picking up a few words, though.
Sorry, it's Elvish.
Oh. Elvish.
If you'll forgive me, I've, over the years, become rusty on my father's tongue, so I will address the rabbit, if that's all right with you.
That's fine. Her father spoke Elvish?
Oh.
She returns back to her Sylvan voice accent. Something like that. All right, so my sister and I, well, our family lived in these woods centuries ago. We grew up in a town on the far side of the wood near the base of the mountains. And I no longer remember the name of my home. I've just come to call it the Glen. Leedon is my sister. She's 1 year my senior. And many years ago, when my mother was pregnant with me, there were some health complications. And my father was concerned for both my health as well as the health of my mother. An older woman who lived in the woods knew some magics offered to save my mother. But she requested that. She essentially asked for a favor in return. My father, being beside himself, agreed. And so whatever she did seemed to work. My mother got over her illness and gave birth to me. And it was when Leedon and I were still fairly young that the old woman came and attempted to claim her favor. And what she asked is that my father and mother allow her to care for myself and my sister for a few weeks. She claimed that in her later years of life, as she was soon to pass on to the next, she wanted to remember what it was like to care for children, to be able to show affection to and help raise a couple of small babes. And my parents, well, mostly my father, because he was the one who had made the deal and was beholden to it, seeing that the old woman had kept her word, chose to trust her. Little did my father know that the woman was a a hag. An evil, spiteful creature who devoured us both, birthing us again in 1 week's time.
Ooh.
Seemingly unharmed, though certainly changed. Now none of this came known to my family for many years. Unfortunately, when I was still fairly young, my mother did pass. In some ways, I think it was better. For when Liden was about 11 years old, she began to exhibit some bizarre symptoms. Her bearing changed. Her skin began to age. And she grew pustules and boils. And
ooh.
Not your typical coming of age maladies.
I guess that does sound a bit like puberty.
When it became clear to my father that something had happened to us, he began searching far and wide for some form of cure. After nearly 2 years of searching, my father encountered a nomadic tribe of druids in the nearby forest. The druids said that they could not undo the magics of the hag, for they were too ancient and powerful. But they did offer up their own ancient magics to perhaps change or alter what the hag had done.
Oh.
The offering of the druids was an ancient ritual. One that would bind myself and my sister's spirits to the trees of the wood. They thought that perhaps without a fleshy mortal form, the curse would not take hold. Pressed for time, the ritual was prepared and finally ready on the eve of my sister's 13th birthday. It worked in a manner of speaking. I now have this form that stands before you. But my sister was not so fortunate. Though bound to the trees, same as me, her form, her mind was corrupted and fractured. And as her mind fractured, her malice grew. And she became known as Skaha, the Shadowy One. For centuries now, she's kept to her own domain on the far side of the forest, yet some years ago, she began making efforts to spread her influence throughout the wood. Some of the far reaches of the Dorfkin Forest that you stand in now, as they've been touched by her corruption, have come to be known as the Grey Wood, or the Shaded Wood to some. And I fear that she has begun to encroach onto your civilizations, and her malice and spite becoming so great that she's begun to lash out.
I'll recount the story to the others as we go.
Oh.
Teeth chattering noises.
Is the hag dead?
That's a great question. I feel bad I haven't spoken Sylvan in a long time. I should at least try and... You know, when you speak a different language and you don't try, at least try that accent.
Mm.
It's a little rude. It's just been... I'm rusty.
I don't speak many languages, so I would not know.
We'd like to offer our assistance. Is the hag dead?
I'm not actually sure. Long before it became clear what had actually happened to Liden and myself, the hag had already left the wood.
The hags might be gone. The hag is in the wind, I suppose. Do you know...
So she's just gone. Not necessarily... Good gone or bad gone, just gone.
Well, this was hundreds of years ago now.
Was it?
How how long has it been since the druids offered a different option?
After so long, I lose count, but it's been a few hundred years for sure.
Hundreds of years.
Wow.
I'm just a spirit bound to the trees now. I suppose I exist like this.
How long has she been, crispy on the one side? Is that from the hag?
Should I keep translating?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and we'll bridge the gap between this now that we've set the precedence.
Yeah.
There have been a couple times I've tried to reach my sister, and mostly in hopes that as her sister, maybe I could plead with her and, I don't know, dissipate the malice in some fashion, but whenever I... entering her domain is dangerous for me, as my form is bound to the trees. If I... well, I got too close to the, some of the trees hurt me, I guess, is the shorthand of what I'm saying.
I guess I was gonna ask, would you be asking us to dispel the corruption or confront your sister? Or perhaps both?
I believe that both options will be closely tied together.
Okay.
I'm not sure how willing she is to see reason, but I don't think the corruption ends without some change in her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea why the corruption started spreading only recently?
The corruption has been spread about the far reaches of the Dwarfkin Forest long enough for it to become known as the Greywood or the Shaded Wood. It's been only in recent years that she's started, that I've noticed, that she's been moving beyond some of the wooded territory in an attempt to encroach on other civilizations and actually cause harm to other bipedal creatures of this earth.
Do you know what?
Of this world.
What is an ER? No. Do you know what she wants?
I don't really know. If becoming... going through the... what I fear is there's a strong part of her that is essentially hag-like.
Oh.
There's a part of me that is concerned that this hatred, this malice, this blackness, this corruption is a part of her being now because of the partial success of the ritual.
So the hag's intent was probably to turn you into hags.
I believe so, yes.
And to what end? Do we start in the gray wood?
Yeah, do you know how to find her?
The gray wood is a little ways off. Myself or some of my companions here, and she gestures to the couple pixies and sprites that are fluttering around.
Loco waves.
Come on. And one of the pixies comes and flips your comb, just like does a little mess with it, and dashes off into the trees and kind of hides behind a leaf.
That was pretty cute.
Have you asked others for help?
I haven't run into too many others. It's not often that folk venture away from their towns and their homes. You know, you're some of the, well, for the most part, for centuries, she just kept to herself, and it didn't seem like anything was very pressing. But in the recent years, I've become unnerved.
Do you know which way she's expanding these days?
I couldn't tell you for sure. I can bring you to the border of her her territories, but because of the effect that the corruption of the trees has on me, I haven't really ventured further for some time.
Did we asked about the volunteers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did she say that she hasn't seen them?
Yeah, okay. She hasn't.
So maybe...
Marion, Boko, do you guys remember how long Arno said he was going to be in town?
No.
I don't.
I don't either.
I'm just wondering, this sounds pretty big, even for the consultants. I'm wondering if we should ask for some help, if we really want to do this.
I mean, that might be wise. Should we... Should we see if the other party just kept going up river? Like, maybe we should find out where the region is. The Shaded Wood? Is that what it was called? Mm-hmm. Before we go back, so that we can see if there are any signs of the other group?
That makes sense. I know we're already a day and a bit from town. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn back to the Dryad and ask how far to the edge of the wood?
It would take us most of the rest of today to make it to the Grey Wood itself. How far into the Grey Wood you'll have to venture, I can't say.
How long was that, sorry?
Till the end of today.
Okay.
Which would put us approximately 2 days from town.
Mm-hmm.
What direction is the Great... Like, when she's been gesturing, is it further upriver? Is it, like, due...
It is a little bit further upriver. Okay. It is, but it does. It is moving further from the banks. If I am picturing the map that I drew at one point in time correctly, heading towards, you know, Grunheim, Otenmoor, Assant is generally westerly from Perlin's Pier, Perlin Town. Mm. This kind of forested area in Grunheim, it kind of spreads both north and south of the Erling River westward until you hit the base of the... It's not Mount Munt. There are mountains that Mount Munt is associated with. The Horned Peaks, right, of which the Mount Munt, where Isant is centrally located, is one of them. So this is kind of northwesterly. While y'all have been generally weaving and winding westerly along the riverbank.
Okay.
It's a little serpentine. It's a river.
I don't know what to do.
If the path is upriver, I'm all for following upriver, at least for a while, since what we came here for was to solve what's ever going on there, and we can see if it actually goes into the Shaded Wood.
Mm-hmm. Can you ask her if there's something blocking the river that we could just dislodge and then come back with help for...
For the Skaha problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there something upriver blocking the flow of the water?
I don't rightly know.
Okay, that makes sense.
We want to help you rectify the situation here, but we're on a different mission. If they are related, we can do both. Have we decided to head towards the Grey Wood upriver?
I think it could be a good idea.
We need to head upriver anyways.
Anyways, okay.
Yeah.
Is this where we can find you?
More or less. I can stay close to the banks in this area of the wood, yes.
Great. Okay, well, she says we can find her here if maybe we need her or need to find her again.
Okay.
Well, does she want to come with us at least up the riverbank until we hit the...
Oh, she might as well, I guess.
As far as she can.
Can you join us?
I can go with you
to the edge of
a little bit further, but I won't be able to help you into her territory.
Understood. Okay. It might just be nice to talk once we get to the edge of her territory, as you're more familiar with it than us.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
Let's go.
All right. So you all set out. Heading upriver, more or less the edge of the woods there. At the start of your little venture here, near this clearing, this glen, as you continue on there, is the trees are like thick and luscious. They're deep brown, rough bark with occasional hints of gray. Similar to the clearing, you get those hints of reddish purple vines that twist around and about the trunks of many of the trees and into the canopy as a whole. And there's this kind of... It gives the golden light of the sun a little bit of a pinkish hue as it comes through the canopy. This is the area where you begin your trek. I need someone to do a perception check for your day of travel.
I can do that.
You can do it for this portion of the day of travel. You can do it with advantage due to the aid of... your woodland assistance, shall we say.
okay, let me see. Oh, you like that number. 21.
21.
Ooh.
All right, very good.
Heck yes.
So traveling along, you still have these lush trees, but as you continue on throughout the day, the trees do grow a bit thinner, both in number and size. The hints of gray kind of give way to just swaths of it. And continuing onward, though the canopy is thinner, the pinkish hues deepen to more of a purple. And as you continue, there is no sign of fire. There is a bit of a smell of ash in the air.
Ooh.
As you're walking along, keeping those avian eyes moving around independently, looking around, you see a bit of a glint in the knot of a nearby tree.
Ooh. Hang on a sec. And I'm just gonna pit-pat over to it and take a closer look.
All right, so in the knot of the tree, it's actually peeking in. It's kind of hollowed out. It looks like it might be a little nest or a burrow for some form of woodland creature. And you can see there's a bunch of little nuts and berries and things that have been collected. But there is this larger item, the seemingly the source of the glint. It is a kind of a round, small sphere of just thick glass.
Oh,
there's a card.
You hungry, Boko? What are you doing sticking your head in there?
I'm gonna pick it up.
We should keep going, Boko. I'm sorry. I mean,
Do you see this thing I found in this tree?
What is that?
It weighs about 1 pound.
What are two other things about it?
It's made of glass and it's a sphere.
I just handed Boko a drift globe card. Just a small magic item.
Neat.
What is
Ooh.
It?
Ooh. Can cause it to emanate light or a daylight spell.
Cool.
Do you recognize it?
Would I know what it is?
You wouldn't necessarily know what it is. It's shiny, pretty.
It's, I just think it's neat.
Yeah.
Can I take a look?
It could be a magical item.
Is it a glass eye?
I'm going to ritual cast identify on it.
Okay.
As we walk, probably, right?
Yeah. Just kind of turning it over in my hand and taking a look if I recognize what this
How
is.
How does ritual casting on the move work?
Oh, good. Never
thought about that. Just being casual.
Yeah, I'm like, do you have to like, yeah, like write runes and stuff like that?
The hoverboard slowly moving me forward while I'm just standing
yeah, I'm
still.
Yeah, just sitting on the hoverboard. Yeah.
That's so cute, sitting cross-legged.
Yeah, sitting cross-legged on the hoverboard as it slowly moves forward.
All right. Well, doing that, you are able to identify that it is indeed a drift globe. There's a command word required, yes?
Yes.
And the command word is AXO.
Ooh.
AXO. Because that's what I'm doing right now.
Are you sure it's not Lumisolan? Or?
I was trying to avoid.
Okay. Legally distinct.
Yes.
Does it have a command word on the card?
Does it say Lumos?
It does. Oh.
And what does it do?
Whatever it says on the card, I think it's just a command word and it lights and it, up, essentially.
Yeah, casts light or daylight.
Ooh.
And it can only be used once per dawn, it seems. Can make it rise into the air and float more than no more than 5 feet off the ground and hover.
And a daylight itself is a third level evocation spell. It makes a sphere of light that sheds light for 60 feet and dim light for an additional 60 feet.
Ooh, nice. That's very convenient for me.
So I'm going to pass it back to you and I'm going to whisper to you, try saying OXO.
OXO.
Try not to stare directly at it. It's pretty bright.
It is. Oh, eyes are watering. Should I... Is this going to draw attention? Should I just put it in my bag for now? How do you turn it off? What if there's owl bears?
Does it turn off the same
How
way?
How do you turn it off?
I mean, it should be the same command word.
I just shake it.
Same word will turn it off.
AXO. And... Okay.
Whoa.
That's pretty neat.
You found that in a tree?
That's magic, Bogo. You're doing magic. Exo.
It's just like the kid flipping a light switch just repeatedly.
I do think it only works many times in a day, so be careful with that.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't have worked again, would it?
Probably not.
Bogo ditches it because it doesn't work anymore.
Must be busted. Keeping it though, it's still pretty.
But otherwise, nothing too much happening around the.
That's not typical.
That's a seagull, no. I think.
Cousin of yours?
I don't speak seagull.
Otherwise, not anything terribly noteworthy happens aside from finding a drift globe and. The trees growing a bit thinner and grayer.
Okay.
Who would like to roll for the next leg of the journey? Also with advantage because you still have your companions with you.
Marion will. Yikes. Nine.
Five drift globes.
We're all very distracted by my drift globe. Hey, Marion, catch.
Oh, AXO.
No, I don't. Yeah, it doesn't seem to work. Huh?
Boko must be the magic one.
Oh, no, because it stopped working for me.
I'll throw it back, dejected.
Catch.
The not much of note, just continuing on up the river. Occasionally, you do find that some of the puddles in the riverbed are a little bit bigger than the ones further downstream. But still no hint of where the blockage may be. As we're moving on later into the day, kind of sort of starting to get dark, and the party comes to a bit of an offshoot from the from the river, the main riverbed itself. It's like a little bit of a dried up creek, and then nothing but a little bit of a dribble down the center, where what little water does flow looks dark and tainted.
Ew.
Oh.
Does it stink?
A little bit.
No.
A little bit. Across the creek, the ash gray trees instead appear blackened. And the twisting, colorful vines give way to blackened and gnarled trunks and roots with thick, prickly briars and brush about. And it's upon seeing this creek that Enya says, "This is about as far as I can take you without risking more harm to myself. This is the edge of Eden's domain." And as you can see, she's done a bit of a number on the trees around here. I wish I could do more, but I'm sorry, I can't.
I want to find like a stick or something and try holding it into the area where the trees are blackened and see if anything happens to the stick.
So you go ahead and do that. You grab a stick and you kind of put it in there, and nothing really happens to it. It's just a stick that you're holding. You can do an insight or even a nature check if you like.
Sure, we'll do a nature check. 11.
11? You're not... It's not clear to you what might be causing this, but seeing Enya's face, how, like, well, if she is to be believed, the, you know, corruption has affected her, but the stick that you hold, nothing has happened to it. You can more or less assume that, because the stick isn't connected in any manner to the trees themselves, it would not be affected.
Gotcha.
Very different from a spirit that is bound to trees.
So there's no way for us to bring trees with us and have you be okay in there?
With an 11, you wouldn't know for sure, but not,
we could
not
come
some,
back with a wheelbarrow.
Not some strong confidence there.
Well, thank you for coming with us.
What are we looking for? What's your sister look like?
I mean, there was a time where she looked like me, but a little bit older, but I can't really say what form she might have taken now.
Ooh.
Maybe a dryad with this, you know, this blackened, crackly bit spread across her entire form. I'm not sure. I haven't actually seen her in some time.
So she did look, when the druids first cast their spell, she did initially look like a dryad.
Yes, yeah. She okay. took the form of a dryad, same as me, but I think by that point in time, the she's a year my senior, so I think with her physical development, her hagness was a bit more, had taken a bit of a stronger hold.
Okay.
So are you going to stay the night here with us, or are you headed back?
I can stay the night if you like. But
does she think... I guess I'll ask her via Marion. Yeah. Do you think that we should go get help before attempting this?
I don't know, but I'm not sure how much this can really be delayed.
Okay.
So you said it's been the past couple years that she started encroaching. Has it accelerated much faster in the past couple days then?
In the past few weeks,
This camp we're in, or this area, this creek offshoot, is it a pretty obvious spot of where you would probably camp out before going into the Blackened Forest?
Define what you mean by, like, obvious. Are you talking about, like, obvious for ambush, or obvious just like, oh, this is a decent...
a party that is trying to trek upriver to find out what's going on, camping out here before going into what looks like a completely different forest ahead.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, with the creek, it is a bit cleared. You know, because, like, trees.
Then I want to do an investigation and see if there's any signs of the other party having camped out or been in and around this area.
Yeah. Okay. You can go ahead and do that.
16?
All right. You find, kind of digging around, well, it doesn't actually, even in the darkness, it doesn't take very long to find that there is some semblance of a fire that had been stamped out and doused fairly recently. Maybe a few days, hard to tell for sure. It's fresh, but not immediately fresh.
Seeing Ziggy look
recent,
around.
Recent, but not fresh. There we go. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. No, would you like to say that again? Seeing Ziggy, like, looking around and it's dark, I'm going to throw out some dancing lights.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. And I'll lift my goggles off my eyes.
I'm going to yell, EXO. Still nothing.
Try again tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to point, there seems to be a fire pit here. It's, I assume, cold to the touch?
Yes.
Yeah. It's cold, but it is recent. I do think there's a good chance the party from town came through here.
Does it look like they went into the...
I mean, where else would they go if their job was to...
They're looking for the source of the problem, yeah.
Right.
All right. I mean, yeah. Cozy spot to sleep, huh?
I mean, it's better than over there. And we're going to point just at the Blackened Forest, just across the creek.
Don't know if it smells better.
And did you say that as we came in here, the water looks kind of discolored, or...
Yeah, there is... the creek is also fairly dried up, but there is, like, a thin, like, essentially little dribble, just, like, the smallest bit of continual running water on that as it falls upon the bed of the larger river. It just kind of more or less dissipates, like, it's hardly anything. But it does... what is flowing does appear... blackened in some form.
Is it viscous?
It is not. It is. Oh, it is. It does still have the appearance of water. It's just more along the lines of, like, swamp water than river water.
Is there a check to do to try to determine if the discoloration and everything seems to be magical in nature?
You can do either a nature or an arcana check.
Okay.
Depending on whether you're trying to figure out if it's real or if it's magical.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if it's magically altered.
Then do Arcana.
Okay. 22.
Dang. It does seem to be affected by something arcane in nature.
Be careful with this water. It's not natural.
Okay. Good thing we brought water skins.
Is it dark because of the time of day, or is it dark because of the area we're in? Is it late?
It is after traveling, we are moving on into actual, like, evening darkness hours, getting ready to set up camp hours. We had, for balance, I thought it felt nice to have, during travel days, have three checks during the day and two at night. Mm-hmm. We technically already did our first check of the day last session.
Right. Okay.
So we've had two more and moving on into night.
Before we settle in, does it look like there are any signs of struggle?
And I'm going to stop unpacking my bag. Yeah. Like, what's up?
Did it look like they got chased out of here?
I mean, this fire looks like it was put out nicely and properly, not like they left in a hurry.
Mm. Okay. Because I don't want to be sleeping here if the last people died horribly sleeping here, you know? It's just,
You know, that's a good laugh rule, I think.
But wouldn't that also mean, like, what are the chances of it happening again?
It's true.
I think, given the circumstances and the surroundings, high.
You have some good survival instincts. Would you rather we move back a little before setting up camp?
I don't think we need to. Hey.
We'll just make sure to take watches.
Yeah, we'll take watch. If I could borrow your goggles for
of course.
Watch, that'd be great.
And we could head out early?
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Sounds good.
Mm.
I can take first watch.
Okay.
All right.
And I'm going to first see, is there like a stump or something around in our area too?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find a stump. There are some signs of... in the clearing, there is some sign of some smaller trees having been cut down, perhaps for firewood, perhaps for other reasons. But there are at least a couple areas you can set up on a stump.
Gotcha. And I'm going to turn to Enya and ask in Elvish, do you sleep?
What a question.
I rest. I enter a state of just listless floating on the breeze in some sense.
Sounds lovely.
It does.
But no, I don't sleep.
Does she eat? I gesture to a ration.
Shakes her head no.
Okay. I'm going to pull out my last melon and start cutting it up for everybody to share.
Ooh,
little melon. Oh, yes, the melon.
The jar melon.
Ages, yes, exactly, ages ago. The little football-shaped melon.
Floating with Boko.
All right. Anything else y'all want to do before y'all turn in?
Sorry, one other question, Enya. Do you breathe?
In what is breath but wind? Hmm. And I'm... My being is more or less wind.
It's a good question. Or a good statement. I'm just wondering, have you ever been in a jar?
Have you, Ziggy?
I'm going to say no.
Theoretically, if there was a jar with no air in it, would you be able to survive and we could potentially transport you through
the Blackened Forest? I just keep hearing the word jar and I'm like, what is Ziggy talking about with?
I feel like I had no problems breathing, at least for a little bit.
I think Boko had maybe 10 minutes before she suffocated. Yeah,
that's what I remember.
It seemed fine, Ziggy. I don't know what you're...
Your cheeks told a very different story.
My cheeks have feathers on them.
And somehow they were blushing?
I am... my spirit is bound to these trees. I'm actually not sure how my form would react to being separated from them like that.
Understood. I just wanted to know if there was a way to maybe get you closer to your sister, if that would be something you wanted.
Is she a physical being? Like corporeal?
The dryad or the... Are you asking the dryad?
The dryad.
Okay. It's swirling leaves moving in wind that kind of take a...
Wild.
A so form, cool. Like so cool. The leaves take the shape of a person, but like if you were to like slap her, your arm would go through, you know, like it would be like whiffing good, through good. A swirl of
so
leaves.
So we have to fight one of these. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. Mm. Or, you know, talk one out of being a hag. Interesting.
Well, thank you again for the help, and I'm sorry that we can't take you further. And I'm going to sit down on the stump and just kind of start watching, mainly looking at the the Black Forest, as I assume if something happens, it's probably coming from over there.
You do that, and you just kind of like listlessly floats on the edge of the trees on the near side of the bank. Not very active, but still just moving very slightly in the breeze, while the pixies and the sprites that have been kind of trailing with her as she's moved, like the sprites actually kind of buzz up onto a branch and just kind of sit there, while the pixies actually make a bed out of some leaves and like nestle in for a night of sleep. And if you would give me a perception check for the first night's watch.
That was a natural 2 for a 0.
You fell asleep.
All right.
I'm wearing my goggles. You don't know this. But my eyes might be closed.
Time to roll. Time to roll. As you are, that is too many.
I definitely chose the right direction to watch.
As you are sitting and watching and waiting, you start to see the little bits of, like the slightest bit of movement in the the tree line on the shaded side of the wood. And as you focus, you know, kind of like maybe brush your night vision goggles off a little bit, help you a little better. You see a group of about 6 or 7 little red draconic looking creatures.
Ooh.
Just skipping along in with like little loincloths and spears and knives, and a couple of them have a kind of a stick stretch out between the two of them that has like a couple of small rodents tied to them as if they just came back from a hunting trip and are just trekking their way through the edge of the wood. At present, unfortunate roll. As they're kind of, you know, moving along through that edge of the wood, they do have a moment where, you know, hearing chitter chatter. There's a moment where it grows quiet. And you see a dozen or so glowing eyes just kind of staring out the wood at you.
Can I cast... Oh, just one sec. Sorry. I need to look something up.
Okay.
Can I cast a silent image to make it look like I have a huge, shadowy 15-foot form coming out of my back?
Oh!
Yes, you may.
Ooh.
And that form is also holding a giant wrench.
A giant wrench. Okay. All right. So a big shadowy form behind you. Kind of like... It's... seeps almost out of your back as your natural shadow just kind of lifts off the ground and elongates upward into this large shadowy form. And we're going to give them I'll do a wisdom saving throw for them to see if that is, they are terrified. That is a 7 minus 2 for a 5. So, this group of eyes, they see that form here. And big old rustling in the trees. A couple of them, you know, disappear off further into the wood. One of them actually jumps kind of into the clearing like he was shoved forward and like has a moment where he just freezes and like... and then... goes to run, trips, drops his spear, kind of face plants a little bit, decides not to go back for the spear, and then runs back off into the woods with the rest of the hunting
that's
party.
A mood.
And yeah.
That was interesting. I'm thinking this to myself. And I'm also gonna just kind of look back behind me at the shadow creature that forms like Didn't really know I could do that. It's pretty effective.
Wisdom saving throw, do you spook yourself?
Good question.
19, I think I'm good. Okay. So I'm gonna, as I guess the watch starts to come to an end, realize I never really checked who is going to be next watch. So I'm just gonna pull out a coin and flip it. Heads, I'm waking up Boko. Tails, I'm waking up Marion.
All right. So yeah, roll a die.
Evens and odds. Yeah, just do
whoever, however y'all wanna.
Evens are heads. Odds are tails.
There you go.
That's a heads.
What did you say?
I'm pretty sure I said Boko.
Yeah, Boko is heads. Yeah.
So I'm gonna.
It makes sense for me to be tails because I have tip feathers. Although Marion also has a tail. That's so pretty cute. No, too. I get it.
We got two cute tails in this.
So I'm gonna stand up, and I assume that the image is going away because it only lasts for I think up to 10 minutes.
Yeah, it would have.
So it's gone away, and I'm just gonna tap Boko.
Hey. Wake up.
Hey.
Yeah. Your turn, and I'm gonna put the the goggles on you.
Thanks.
Do watch out. There's some little tiny dragon people out there.
Watching is my middle name. I fastened the goggles on.
Noted. What's your last name
I
again?
Pace back and forth. I made that up. I don't have a middle name. I say as I'm pacing back and forth.
I don't understand your culture. And I'm going to lie down to go to sleep.
All right, so you lie down and go to sleep. Boko, you're going to give us a perception check. You can keep your ocular advantage because you have the night vision goggles.
Bless you. We got a runaway. 21 again.
21, dang. Yes. Okay.
Slightly better than mine.
So, peering off into the woods, you know, haven't been told about the dragon people, just looking for it, you very quickly noting and even somewhat memorizing the contours of some of the bushes. Throughout the night, just like, is that dragon like? No. No, they're just the leaves moving in the trees. But you have a pretty good visual sense of what the forest should look like by the end of your watch that you're able to pretty quickly tell that there's, you know, not much disturbance happening. You feel like if something did happen, you'd catch it instantly. Okay. But nothing of note happens.
All right. Then I will, when my watch comes to a close, I'll wake Marion.
We, just two watches overnight.
Okay. Then I'll wake them both.
I was going to get so mad that it didn't happen.
All right.
Thanks for keeping watch, you two.
Oh, no problem.
Nothing gets past me.
You look good in Ziggy's goggles.
Thank you. I think so too. Very fashionable.
As the sunlight begins to, you know, lighten up the woods, the goggles are going to start to hurt your eyes a little bit with their
I give them back immediately.
Amplification.
Fashion is pain.
I'm going to walk over and pick up the spear.
Okay.
That the dragon child, I'm going to assume, dropped.
Yes. To you, it is. It's almost like a small throwing knife to you.
Okay. I'm going to bring it over to Boko and ask, do you want a spear?
It would be a spear for Boko. You are correct.
Sweet. Cool. Yes.
This was dropped by one of those little dragon people I talked about.
Cool. That was by the bush that looked like Marion if she had a really fat brother.
Oh.
I don't know if I have a fat brother.
It's just, you see that bush? Well, you can't really see it now in the light. I swear, in the dark, it looked exactly like a bunny.
A fat bunny.
Those are cute.
Yeah.
It means they're well fed.
Right. Well, this is awkward. Do we go?
You know...
Do we have to wake Enya? Is
she awake?
It's still just kind of drifting, floating, swirling around some of the nearby trees. But, you know, as y'all are rousing and speaking, she's like, all right, I wish you the best of luck. I wish there was more I could do for you.
Can you advise us in, should there be a confrontation and we have to fight for our lives, what do we do? Do you have any recommendations?
If it were up to me, I'd save her if I could, but...
That would be priority.
It is... I fear she may be beyond saving. Mm-hmm. But she certainly needs to be stopped.
I just...
As her sister, was there any kind of, you know, weak points or ways to get under her skin?
I suppose I don't have much experience, you know, confronting people who don't have bodies. So I'm a bit out of my depth here.
She did have generally an infatuation with her own appearance. But beyond that... That was most of what I made fun of, yeah. Sisters never change, do they?
Nope.
Is there anything that she can tell us that only you would know about her?
There are few who know the story that I've told you. More than anything else, I'm the only one who still calls her Leiden.
Okay.
Otherwise, that name's been lost to memory in time.
We should probably address her as Leiden then, if we find her.
So where will you go?
I'll probably stay close at least for a little bit. If it seems that... Well, if you're successful, maybe some of this will retreat and some of the... good folk of the forest, and gestures to the sprites and pixies, as well as some of the other wildlife, can roam further. But if things go awry, I might need to retreat.
Understood.
If you need to go back to where we met at the river, if that's safer, we can find you there if we need to.
Right. If I don't hear anything in a day or two's time, I'll head there.
Okay.
Anything either of you want to do before we head into that forest?
That's my question.
Nope. I ate breakfast while we were talking, so.
Okay. It looks like it might not be the easiest to find more food in there.
Yeah, it's a good thing we brought rations.
We did.
And good thing we didn't go back for fishing equipment.
I think we'd eventually find a use for it.
All right, so y'all are free to head off into the wood.
As we move into the wood, I would like to burn my hand into every tree we pass.
Okay. Oh. All right, the woods do grow thick. Okay. So, they're going to be either a lot of hands or maybe...
I can be judicious about it. Just like a trail.
Yes.
So we know. Okay.
And breadcrumbing it.
Yeah. Yes. It's midday and you've only passed 20 yards into the forest.
5 minutes per tree.
All right, so you can breadcrumb your way on through. Who wants to do our perception check for your day of travel?
I can't, since I didn't take a watch.
All right. Yeah. In this area of the forest, as you're, you know, venturing on into the blackened trees, the gnarled roots and prickly vines and briars, all this thick brush that's dark and tainted. For wandering on through this wood, we're going to move from perception to survival checks, as this is a bit more of the untamed wilderness. Additionally, because of the nature of what is happening in these woods, those checks will be with disadvantage.
Nuts.
And I don't get my advantage.
Seven? So, pushing on through the woods, breadcrumbing your way, burning your palms into some of the trees. You hit a point as you kind of, like, because of the thickness of the trees, you do have to occasionally weave and wind a little bit. And you, pushing on through, there's a moment where part of your shirt catches on some briars and tears the fabric a little bit. For the most part, you yourself are unharmed, but clothes are a little tattered from pushing through. It's just thick, rough, dangerous brush, but nothing bad happens.
You changing up your strategy on breadcrumbing it?
Not yet. I can risk a few more slices in my clothes. I'm going to throw out some dancing lights, though.
Okay.
I'm going to combine them all into a medium-sized humanoid form.
Okay.
That floats with us, ahead of us, maybe a little bit.
Okay, sounds good.
By the way, do either of you know what we're looking for?
No.
Nope.
Should we try to keep inside of the river or something as we go, so we know we're headed the same direction?
That's a good idea.
Is the river, like the trickling offshoot, is that present?
Moving
here?
On into the brush here, you are going to be pushing beyond the, to really go into the woods here, you are going to have to move beyond the banks of the river a bit. At least for this portion.
Some part of me thinks that the more dangerous it gets, the more on track we are.
Mm-hmm.
That feels oddly right. And I probably should have asked this before we came in here, but are we sure we trust Anya and her story?
Gosh, it never occurred to me.
I did too.
Okay. Well, I trust you and your judgment, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Marion does too.
Not one insight check. That's all I do is do insight checks on people's stories.
Yeah.
Not this time.
I didn't even need to make the dryad take her charm action.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Now.
All right. Who will be taking the two-year survival check for the next leg of the journey?
I would like to, as we're going, could I keep an eye out for signs of the other party?
Yeah.
Would that be separate from the perception check or like the survival check?
Survival. We'll make that separate from survival just because the using survival in this instance is specifically for
navigating
okay. And making your way through all the thick.
Yeah. I'll do both maybe.
Are you looking for signs of the other party?
I was hoping to keep an eye out for that and see if we can come across anything of theirs.
I can do the next survival check while you do that.
Okay.
Okay.
You first.
Two.
Two.
Oof. Disadvantage.
Sorry, you're right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Still two. Two. Okay. Two.
Wouldn't that have been horrendous?
Well, it was a natural four.
All right. That is. And that was survival?
Yeah, it's still wisdom. Survival,
oh, it is still wisdom, isn't it? Yeah. That was a dumb question of mine. It happens sometimes. It happens to everyone.
I do like camping, but this is a little much for me.
I thought you were a fancy boy. You don't like camping.
I still don't know where you got that impression.
Pushing on through the brush, there are some, occasionally you come across like some leaning or felled trees that you have to kind of like shamble over and under sort of thing. And Ziggy, you kind of like, you know, waist high tree, you kind of just plant a hand, flip on over it, and you step in some very soft brush that begins to move. And as it moves, a shambling mound takes form.
Ew.
And goes to attack you on the top of your, on the, standing on top of it.
Ooh.
And I need everyone to roll initiative.
That's unfortunate.
Convenient that we have a shambling mound mini somewhere.
Oh, we do?
Don't know why.
Okay, these are, so it's a forest, so I'm not really drawing a boundary. And these are just going to be some trees and stuff for you to maneuver. Oops. Around. That's great.
That looks great.
For you to maneuver around.
The detail in the bark is incredible.
This is my illuminated humanoid.
You're not
going
to tree over.
I'm going to have to.
Essentially on top. All right, now I just need to make them roll. All right, anyone 20 and up?
No.
I was like, wow. And 15 to 20?
17.
17 for Ziggy.
16.
16 for Marion. All right. And then...
An even 10.
An even 10 for Boko. All right. Very good. So as this shambling mound begins to, you know, roar and move with all these vines and tendrils, Ziggy, it is actually your move.
I'm not actually pinned or... grappled or anything like that by the mandrel. I just
no,
stepped
you
on
just
it,
stepped on it, so you're essentially right on top of it, but it has not made any moves to grapple you.
Okay, am I at least, based on how we have the setup here, am I at least 15 feet away from Boko and Marion?
Yeah, sorry, I was just trying to, I don't know exactly what the best place is to set y'all up in the middle of this mess.
Which direction were we coming from? From the...
I'm guessing
we were that direction, right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, what makes sense for all of y'all? I guess, what is the, asking for 15 feet, what is that for?
Thunderwave.
Thunderwave. Mm, oh, nice. I mean, in the current setup...
That's
no.
What I'm just confirming. This is, in fact, the yeah. setup.
You are
unless,
on the far
unless
side
unless someone
of
else has a...
I'm the only one who crossed over the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're saying yes?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. You have a distance from
then,
this.
Then, just as almost a sheer reaction of noticing that I stepped in something seems living but not friendly, I'm going to scream, and in doing so, cast a Thunder Wave.
Okay.
And a massive kind of energy pulses out from me.
All right. Is that force damage?
Thunder damage.
Thunder Ooh. Damage. All right.
And it's a... must make a constitution saving throw.
That is a 19.
Dang.
So it does save. So that he'll take half damage and not be pushed away.
Okay.
Will the fallen log be pushed away?
Depends on its constitution save. So
I'm
11 damage then needs to be halved.
Okay, 11 damage halved. Okay, half round down. All right, sounds good. Anything else for you this turn?
And then as a bonus action, let me see, it's been a while. Okay. It's not loading, but I can go back in. So I'll scream and just be like, what is this? And pull out a couple of nuts and bolts from my bag as well and just kind of infuse some magic into them, ready to throw them at anything else that comes near.
Okay. After that, we'll move on to Marion.
What does it look like the shambling mound is made of?
Sorry. So the... what Ziggy stepped on was like a pile of brush and, you know, vines, leaves, thorns, etc. So it is essentially just it's a mound of shambling debris.
And a massive twig blight.
Huh?
Does it look like a massive twig blight?
Kind of. A little more viney than a twig blight. I guess, I don't know. For me, a twig blight is very, like...
Sticky.
Sticky. Yeah. It's like a shrubbery that's come to life, whereas this is, like animated vegetation. It's it makes me think of the waterbenders from the swamp in Avatar when they cover themselves in vines and start doing crazy things. Cool. That's what it makes me think of. But it is a just like a heap of animated vegetation, vines, and it's very tendrily.
I would like to throw a firebolt at it. I'm just going to put my palm straight out and shoot one from my right hand.
Okay.
22.
All right. That is definitely going to hit.
And a flammable object hit by this spell ignites.
Okay.
If it is flammable.
It is not an object. It is a creature.
Okay.
For technicality's sake.
Just
we respect mans at this table.
I don't even know what that means.
It's not an object.
Exactly.
Oh, gotcha. God, I've caught up now.
For 10 points of damage.
10 points of damage, all
fire
right.
Fire damage.
Fire damage, firebolt. And it's kind of skips off of the creature and dissipates very quickly. It's a little strange, but counterintuitively, this large plant creature does not seem to respond much to fire. Mm. Anything else for you?
In case I'm blocked by the two trees in front of me, I'm just going to swing around a little bit to get a better vantage point, because I'm thinking that it was my vantage point, not the creature. All that was the problem.
Sounds good. It is up to the creature's turn. Having just been in this area where Ziggy stepped on its head, it's going to and go for a double slam attack on Ziggy. That is a 15.
Oh. Armor class is 16.
Ooh, 15 for the first one, and that is a 25, holy crap, for the second one.
Just Whoa. Hits.
Just hits? Okay. So, swings wide and slams down, cracking the tree that you just hopped over moments ago, making a little bit of a path clearing for those behind. But the second one kind of swings down, smacks you pretty good for... that is... 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ooh. Oof.
And I don't think it'll be doing any moving because it is basically right there.
That didn't feel like leaves.
bunch of thorns definitely pressed into your flesh a little bit on that one. But next up we have Boko.
I'm going to sort of hop off the fallen log there and try and sort of clumsy flyer my way around to Ziggy's side.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, right there.
Very good.
And then I'm gonna use my fighting spirit.
Okay.
To give myself advantage on weapon attack rolls until the end of this turn.
All right.
And gain 5 temporary hit points.
Nice. Very nice.
And then I'm going to slash him with my sword.
All right, go for it.
Advantage, right?
Advantage, yes.
Heck yeah. Oh, good. Oh, no. That's a 12.
12. You take that swing and it skips off the brush and bramble.
All right, well, that was my bonus action and action, so I'm done.
Okay.
I'm toast.
All right. Ziggy, your move.
Boko, you look like you're glowing.
Thank you.
And I'm going to... Let's see. After that hit, basically, I'm going to tinker around and create a small Eldritch Cannon with my action that is mounted on my wrist.
Okay.
And I'm just going to, as a bonus action, kind of slam it. It has kind of a button on it that pulses out a shield.
All right.
Very nice. In a small radius around us, so I think it would hit Boko as well.
Oh. Yes, it should. Boko is pretty much right next to you.
For 9 temporary hit points.
Wow. Okay, well.
That does replace the ones you currently have. Just I think you can choose which ones you keep.
4 more than I did have.
Yes, but exactly. You have 4 more than you did have.
And that's everything, because I can't really move without getting swung at. So,
all right. Marion, your move.
Seeing fire didn't work, I'm going to try a Chaos Bolt.
Okay.
Ooh.
Keep it spicy.
23
is definitely going to hit.
How do you play this game? Okay. I'm going to pick acid damage.
Acid, okay.
Although I think that very means nice. I rolled low. Hold on. It's 2d8. For 9 points of acid damage.
All right.
Dang.
It's the vines get to, you know, start to, I guess, melt in places.
Ew.
All snapping a twig sounds. Anything else for you?
No.
I didn't know you could shoot pesticide.
The mound having, getting that hit from Marion, because, you know, at this point it's kind of just shrugged off both Ziggy and Boko. It's actually going to and go for Marion. That's actually technically inviting attacks of opportunity from both of y'all if you would like
yes.
to take them.
Absolutely, I'm taking that.
I will as well.
Hold on, just 1 sec. I get advantage on weapon attack rolls until the end of the current turn. Does that continue?
It'd still be now.
Or is that the end of my portion of the turn?
Yeah, the current turn, that is...
Normally it's till it gets back to you or something.
Usually it says until your next turn when it's something like
right.
that. And so the current turn is different from round?
Yeah.
I think the current turn is addressing the turn where you took the bonus action.
Until the end of my actions and movement and stuff,
yeah.
right? That's
so this is the
how it reads to
go.
Me.
I'm seeing I see that there is a question here. I think that refers
I'd just say
to
your call.
Yeah.
And
I think that refers to the current turn.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of those things that because of the way it's designed as you
it's supposed to be you have a lot of attacks.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a fighter move.
Exactly. So in the future,
eventually, it'll be
very powerful, but right now it is a little limited.
Is it a bonus action?
Yes.
So you can't use it and action surge in the same turn?
Action surge is not a bonus action.
Oh.
It's free.
No, yeah, action surge is just a thing
cool.
you have. Yeah.
Okay, no, that makes
I just forgot
sense.
I had that until I passed it off to whoever was next.
All right, but yes, you can't take the 2 opportunity attacks.
Right, right. I'm going to do that. Oh, nat 20.
Very nice.
Yes!
And I got a not natural 21.
Okay, yes, y'all will both hit on those.
So I'm just swinging with one of the small wrenches as it that
Wait,
I was using to build my
dice,
cannon.
Though. Sorry, go on.
I was just swinging with one of my small wrenches I was using to build the Eldritch Cannon.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Wow, that was
two ones
on the critical hit. Plus 4. All right, 6 points of damage.
Can
Very
I double
nice.
The plus 4? Or?
Unfortunately, no.
And 6 damage from the tiny wrench.
6 damage from the tiny wrench, okay.
We did the same damage.
Yours was so
sword.
Much more precise.
The slicing sword.
I get
the
that
wrench.
It's too powerful, but that like alternate idea where if you roll a critical hit, you take full damage and then you get to roll additional damage. I'm like, I get that because
yeah.
that's like exciting. That's a.
All right. The mound is going to do its multi-attack slam.
Bring it.
That is a 19
hit.
And an 11.
Misses.
All right. Very nice. So one of those hits, it is going to, you know, as it comes crashing through the trees, go for that slam, and it is going to hit for 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Psh, nothing. I look half dead.
All right, cool. So that will be it for the Shambling Mound's turn. And we are back to Boko.
Okay. I'm just going to jump at him again.
Okay.
I'm going to yell, hey, dirt lump! And jump over the log and try and just slash him with my short sword. Try to hack his arm clean off.
Yes. Probably not going to go ahead and roll that. Go ahead and roll that attack.
It fell in between. That is a 12 plus 4, 16.
16? 16 is going to hit.
Yes!
Okay. Another one! Five damage.
Five damage? Okay, you gotta stop rolling that dice.
I do. I rolled two last time. Two different ones.
Yeah. Betrayal. That one has betrayed you multiple times at this point. All right, so it takes a little slice. Kind of sort of just shrugs it off and is still angry.
I'm going to use my unarmed strike then.
All right, sounds good.
As a bonus action. Do I have to...
You can either do it as like a... essentially, it's like a...
I can do it if I've landed a weapon attack, right? It doesn't have to be an unarmed attack first.
For unarmed strike bonus action, you just have to have taken the attack action.
Okay.
You don't actually need to hit.
Okay.
And technically, a grapple is an attack action. Found that out. So in the future,
interesting. I'm gonna grapple
grab someone and then punch him.
I'm gonna just perch on his head and call it a grapple. So I'm gonna try and unarmed strike him.
All right, sounds good.
And that's a three. That's it. That's a seven.
A seven total. Is not going to do anything. Your wing just kind of skips right off the side.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No.
No?
Save an action surge this time?
Yeah. I guess it's once per short rest, right? No, that's second wind.
Yeah, I think both second wind and action surge recharge on short rests.
Since it's Marion right here, I'm going to action surge and try again with my sword.
Okay, go for it.
14?
14? No, that is not going to hit.
Dang it.
Just
misses. I'm going to just scream while I slash at him. Eat sword! Eat it!
All right. Back to the top with Ziggy.
I want to very quickly just look around if I see a stone that looks like it's between 1 and 5 pounds.
I mean, there are certainly little stones about the forest, so
okay,
sure.
Okay, so I'm going to cast Catapult and hurl that stone at the mound.
Okay, sounds good. Is that a saving
throw?
Needs
to make a dex saving throw.
Okay, it is slow, and that is a 7 minus 1 for 6.
So it fails, so it gets smacked in the leafy head with a rock and takes 3d8 bludgeoning damage.
What?
Oh my gosh! Is this catapult?
I mean,
that is
for a
1 pound
stone to do that much damage, that's incredible.
I'm assuming it's a 5 pound stone.
I mean, but same dice rolled either way.
Not great rolls on the dice. I blame one of them being Kate's.
Stop using the white dice. They are not going well for any of you.
9 damage.
9 damage. Okay.
Thank you, right. Whiz dice. We'll be trying.
And then I'll step a little bit closer and hit the button on my wrist shield again, and it'll pulse out, giving all of us
that we're in range. Range now.
That's pretty good. That's max 12 temporary hit points.
Whoa. Nice. Way to go, guys.
I just keep feeling better and better.
Yeah, I know. There's that whole like roll the shoulders, crack the neck thing. Yeah. All right.
Now we mean business.
Anything else for you, Ziggy?
Nope.
All right. Back to Marion.
I'm going to say that is no way to treat the elderly. And I'm going to hit him in the face with my quarterstaff.
Okay. Sounds good. Make that roll.
Quick question. Is there no way to do this as dex-based, I guess?
For a core staff, I don't believe wielding? So. Yeah, two-handed. I think that is just...
Then it doesn't matter. It didn't matter, no.
The build-up helps.
I'm going to try and whack him on the face, and when I miss, I'm going to bonus action Misty Step.
Okay.
30 feet behind him.
Okay.
Nice.
You kind of just, like, disappear into the brush and briar and come back in on the other side of things.
And in case DM needs to know, I'm going to use my feet charge of that so I don't have to expend a spell slot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right, so out of view. I think it's just going to turn around and swing wide. So that'll be a slam attack, one on each of y'all. Because it was like looking at Marion, essentially, and turns and just takes a swipe. Ziggy, ooh, dang. That is a 23.
Oh, man, hits. This guy's hits. Rolls.
And Boko, that is an 8.
That's gonna miss.
Yeah, that was a natural 17 and a natural... Did I add the numbers right? That is 23. Yeah. That's 24. Yes.
That changes 24 everything.
And 9. Yeah. So that was a natural 17 still and a natural misses. 2.
2 plus 7.
I just duck.
Yep. This is... Unfortunately, the randomized roll was a very high number on the D100. So it's a beefy guy.
Oh,
that is, is 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh,
this feels temporary.
All right, that's it for the mound. Anything else for? No, I don't. It's the mound.
Anything else for the mound?
Anything else for the mounds? I like them frozen. That dark chocolate coconut really goes well. Anyways, I'm so sorry. Boko, your move.
I'm gonna just jump at his face, trying to slash his face.
That sounds good.
I'll like jump and flap my wings once, and just slash him across both eyes.
All right, go for it.
Attempting. 16.
16? All right, 16 is going to hit.
Get him. 5.
Yes.
Plus 4, 9.
9.
Nice. 9 damage.
Very nice. Takes a little slice. Anything else for you?
I'm going to, before I land, just uppercut him with one of my scaly little fists. Yes.
All right. Your little scaly little fist. Takes a little.
That's an 8.
8. That is not going to hit, unfortunately.
Hit leaf.
It's like the balance of like flapping the wings and taking a swing at the same time is difficult. You know, just a little swung a little wide.
I am a clumsy flyer.
Ziggy, it is back to you.
I'm going to try to mimic what Boko did, but without leaving the ground, and just slash with my tiny wrench. And just look at her and be like, is this form okay?
All right, take that slash with the tiny wrench. We'll workshop
it. Unnatural 20.
Unnatural 20? Okay, that is going to hit.
Ken, are you with the results, though?
And 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
7 points of bludgeoning damage. A little wrench. Ka-dunk.
Ka-dunk. And then I'm going to just slam my wrist again to repulse the shield.
Okay.
12 points again.
Hey, very nice. 12 points of damage. What's the range on that? Is Marion in range for
Marion
that?
Would not be. Marion would not I think be. Like okay. 15 feet or something.
Okay.
I you just still, kept my
Yeah, you
my
would
other
still
12.
Have the previous ones.
I have 12, but they're new ones.
They're fresher than the previous ones. All right. Marion, your move.
This guy seems beefy. I'm going to cast another Chaos Bolt at 2nd level.
Okay. All right.
Natural 1.
Natural 1. Unfortunately, you're going
to... Take that 2nd level spell slot.
Slide off wide.
We didn't need it.
And I'm going to move back.
Okay. Anything else?
I will bonus action hang my head in shame.
Okay.
I think that's a Sounds free about action. Right.
That's a free action. Okay. The I think tiny the stone. Mound, having just had Boko fly up in its face and slash it going down. Is going to do its multi-attack slam on Boko.
I'm like a really that annoying fly.
A 15 and a 19.
They will both hit.
Oh, they will both hit. All right. That is a bad roll for that. And for that, that is 15 points of damage.
Okay. Total?
Total.
Oh,
total.
Thank goodness.
Yes. Phew, all right.
Yeah, I know. You lucked out on that one.
It feels mostly temporary.
However.
Nope.
Hang on. You are now grappled and engulfed by this shambling mound.
I like to think he just splat his fist on top of me and I'm flat on my face. Wings out.
All right. And so for that, your escape DC is going to be 14 in the future, just so we're ready.
What does engulfed mean here versus grappled?
So the Shambly Mound actually like tangles you up in itself. So while you are engulfed, you are blinded, restrained, and unable to breathe.
Okay.
Cool.
So he flattened
cool.
me into the mud.
But your wings are poking out.
Yeah.
Yes. And anywhere it moves from here, it will take you with it.
Oh, good.
Sweet.
Great. Sweet. Love to hear that.
All right. So that's it for the Shambly Mound. Oko, your move?
I'm going to wriggle.
All right. You can. You have to do it. Escape DC. I think it's should be a... Is it strength or dex to escape a grapple? I think... Isn't it dealer's choice?
It's either dealer's choice or... Yeah, I think it's normally strength contest.
I think it's the attacker's strength versus...
I think it's like a do you want to use athletics or acrobatics
so
to
the,
get it?
Yeah, the shambler will always be using their strength, but you can use athletics or acrobatics.
Nice, I will use acrobatics.
I believe restrained is probably going to be a disadvantage thing. Hold on. Attack rolls... No, because this is not an attack roll, nor is it a dexterity saving throw. So, no, you don't have disadvantage.
Oh, all right.
All right. So just, it will be against it. Oh, no. It already has a save DC. My bad.
Okay.
Save DC is 14.
12.
All right. Struggling. Kind of stuck in there.
I kick my little feeties in the air.
Yep, basically. Gasping a little for air.
Spray a bit of mud.
All right.
Is that my full action to do that?
Yes. The fact that you're still trapped in there. I mean, you can technically do a bonus action, but...
All of them depend on an attack roll anyway. So.
Okay. All right.
Or most of them.
All right. And you are unable to move as well. So we are back to Ziggy.
Seeing Boko get... caught like that, I'm going to again find a small stone and catapult it.
Okay,
at the,
sounds good.
The mound.
Nice.
So again, it needs to do a dex save.
Okay, that is with a minus one. What's the DC?
14.
14, it rolled a 15.
Oh!
Oh,
so
it's getting
then
wily.
The rock will just go flying past, probably smack a tree or something like that. And, I'll just say, Boko, if you're in there, hopefully this helps, and I'll slam my wrist again for the shield.
Yep, shield, go ahead. She's in range, so it still counts.
You hear a muffled, bubbly noise.
So nine.
Nine.
10 hit points.
Thank you.
And that'll replace
very good.
Two.
All right, anything else for you?
That's it.
Okay. Marion, your move.
Weirder damage, you know? I'm going to see Boko kind of inside of this creature and start humming a little lullaby, and I'm going to try and put it to sleep.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to try, and I'm going to, you know what, upcast it. Second level sleep.
Okay.
Hush, little plant lump, don't say a word. Go to sleep and let go, our little bird.
Sleep, it's a certain number of hit points that it
I'm
does,
working
right?
on it, yeah. That's why I'm upcasting it.
So, I guess it takes into account the creature's current hit points
I think so.
In that
fashion.
That
was my goal.
Because, of course, if you're damaged, it's probably going to be easier for something like that to have an effect on you. That's really fascinating. Sorry. I never thought of that mechanic combination before, and it's super interesting. It's a lot of dice.
Ooh, I've rolled well. Not for, and of course, never for the damage, but this is fine. That's 16, 22, 25, 28, 33, 38.
It is not going to be enough to drive the creature to sleep.
It feels really bad to me that it didn't fall asleep when I did that. And so I'm going to bonus action quake in my boots.
All right. Boko, at the start of the creature's turn, I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
I will do that. My dice are escaping me. That was a 20, though.
20, all right.
Ooh, natural 20.
Good. Heck yes.
Oh, you're all, so you could feel
for a total
the...
of 23.
23, very nice. As you're stuck in there, blinded, restrained, unable to breathe, you can feel the vines pressing on you and pressing on you. But in that just almost act of defiance, you gasp what air you possibly can just and press against... Fluff up your feathers and press it against the crushing form, and you take no damage.
Stave it off with pure avian rage.
Basically. So now it is going to try to slam Ziggy. That is... that is a dirty 20 and an 11.
Did it still get two attacks with one engulfing Boko?
Yeah.
It's a mound.
It's a mound. Oh, so gotcha. It's like...
like pseudopods.
It's not the,
yeah,
it's not
amoeba.
The tendril holding Boko. Gotcha. It's like Boko has been pulled into the creature's form itself.
Okay.
But yes, that will be one hit, one miss, I take it?
Yes.
All right. A double one's on damage, so a total of six damage on
has
that
a feel.
One.
Very temporary.
And that is its move. Back to Boko. Good luck.
I'm wriggling again.
You're wriggling. All right. DC 14.
I'm extra muddy this time, so that's going to be a 6.
That's a 6. Still
so
fighting, squirming, staving off the pain, but not able to slip out of its grasp just yet. All right. That will bring us back to Ziggy.
Is there any action I can do to pull Boko out?
I think in this scenario, the best thing you can do is do the help action for her next turn to give her advantage.
Okay. Okay, so there's no... I can't see her or anything to try to pull her out.
Yeah, I would consider that the help action.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
You're like elbow deep in the vines.
Yeah. The problem with it being... you know, it's like you're trying to help her, but it's like if you go in too deep, you run the risk of getting in engulfed yourself.
Okay, then I'm just going to swing with my small wrench.
Okay, sounds good.
Will hit 23.
All right, 23, yes, definitely will hit.
For 7 damage.
7 damage.
Bludgeoning. And then... hitting the wrist again for that time only 6 temporary hit points.
6 temporary hit points for you and 6 temporary hit points for Boko.
Oh, thank you.
Anything else for you?
That's it.
Nope. All right. To Marion again.
I'm going to put my hands out again and say, please, Lady Estra, help us, and send a sacred flame.
Okay.
On the shambling mound.
Is that a saving throw?
Dex.
Yeah.
14.
That is some minus. That is an 8.
I don't add anything to this, right?
It just should roll. Just be whatever damage it says.
All right. 5 points.
Radiant damage. All right. Takes a little bit of heat from that. Yeah, still cooking though. This shambling mound of stuff.
That's all, thank you.
That's all. All right. Start of the mound's turn. Aboko, I need you to make another Constitution saving throw.
Gotcha. That's another nat 20.
All right. Yes. Continuing to fight as you fluff up and All right. It's going to take that double swing on Ziggy again.
Should fluff up enough to break out.
I'm doing my best.
That is a 14 and a 19.
19 hits.
19 hits. That is 9 points of damage. All right. Anything else? Well, I keep saying anything else when it's the mound. I get confused because, like, Boko's doing move on the mound's turn. Yeah. And it's happening. All right. But Boko, it is your move.
All right.
You can try to escape once again.
Here I go.
It's time for freaking 8.
It's an 8. All right. Still trapped, unfortunately. Unable to wriggle free. And which brings us back to Ziggy once again.
And I'm just swinging. At this point, I'm out of other options and just got to go for it.
Okay.
Should hit 21.
Yes,
hit.
Will hit for sure.
For 8 bludgeoning.
8 bludgeoning damage.
Nice.
And then I'm hitting my wrist again.
Okay.
For, that was good. 11 temporary hit points.
11 temporary hit points. Very nice. That should also apply to Boko as well. That should be higher what you currently have, so that's very nice.
Not that I need him yet.
Sorry, what was that?
Marion, your move.
See, I'm having problems because this guy doesn't mind fire, and that's like kind of my thing, you know? So,
do you have any more of that pesticide?
I'm going to do another chaos bolt.
It surprised me to read that stat block as well. I'm like, why is a plant resistant to fire? That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Oh, I have to roll an attack. I got really excited. Let's just, I don't know what that says. 20.
Yeah.
Unnatural.
Unnatural. Okay. Damn. Gonna hit.
Frankenstein 20.
Frankenstein 20, yes.
A little gray cloud will appear over it and slam thunder damage down onto
thunder
it.
Damage? Four. Okay.
I did this at first level. Dang it. 14 points of thunder damage.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't feel so great, does it?
Yeah, it takes the hit, kind of gets pressed down a little bit. It kind of scares you for a split moment because, yes, you're like, Boko's getting compressed in there too. But you know, a couple feathers shoot out, just a little fluff.
Oh, no.
She's very fluffed at the moment, as just enraged, trying to push back. Solid hit. It is starting to look quite worn.
I don't believe.
I probably should.
So is my ego.
Yeah.
Yes.
And anything else for you, Marion?
No, thank you.
All right, Boko, another Constitution save.
Okay.
Let me guess. Nat 20.
Let's hope. Here's hoping. 14.
Just makes it.
Oh, good.
Just makes it.
Getting tired.
Getting tired. Trying to push it back. That compression was a bit much. But yeah, just still fighting back. And it is again going to try to smack Ziggy. That is a. What is with that one die? It is a. That is 23 and an 11.
23 hits.
Yes. Surprising no one.
Surprising absolutely no one. That is going to be 10 points of bludgeoning damage for it. And that is the end of the mound's turn. Back to Boko. Come on, you little escape artist. You can do it.
Come on.
Oh,
17? Wow, she's loose.
Oh, you're alive.
Claw reaches the vines and tendrils, and you're able to claw your way
like
out.
Like a zombie crawling out of a grave.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Feathers are a little bit in disarray. You still got that fluff going on from fighting back the pressure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then anything else for you, Boko?
That was an action?
Yes, that will be an action to break free from that.
And it's not an attack roll.
No, I don't think that does count as an attack
roll. Okay, then nothing from me.
Okay.
except I'm gonna stare him down.
All right, sounds good. Ziggy, back to you.
I'm gonna keep swinging with the little wrench. 19.
19 is going to hit, yes.
7 bludgeoning.
7 bludgeoning.
Nice.
Anything else?
I'm just going to look to Boko and ask, how you feeling? And hit my wrist again for 8 temporary hit points.
8 temporary hit points.
Surprisingly good.
I wish I could say the same.
All right. And then back to Marion.
I think Marion's unsure if Boko is alive or undead after what just came out of this creature. Marion's eyes are going to glow an assortment of colors as she casts another Chaos Bolt.
All right.
For a 13.
13 is not going to hit, unfortunately.
Right. Boko's freaking me out. What is happening? And I'll move slightly closer to see Boko.
All right. Sounds good. Back to the mound. It's going to... So, Boko, you've been struggling and bursting out of its side and everything. Hasn't even been paying attention. You did no damage to it. You're this tiny little creature that finally broke free. So it is still going to maintain its focus on Ziggy.
Oh.
That is a dirty 20 and a 13.
The 20 hits.
That is 18 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oof.
No.
Those dice finally decided to roll high.
I wish mine would do that.
I know, right? For damage. After 4 rounds of being trapped in there. Okay, that's the mound's turn. Boko, now in your freed state, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to go feral.
Going to go feral?
Jump on his face.
All right.
Claw him and peck him.
Claw him and peck him. All right. So, it's attack and an unarmed, bonus action unarmed strike.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good.
Red is peck, white is claw.
Good.
And they're both 9s. No, wait, that's a 6 and a 9. Nice. Plus 4 to both of those. So 10 and,
And that's 13. Sorry, so that's your dex and proficiency?
Yes, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. It's a 10 and 13. Unfortunately, that will not be enough. You're clawing at it, scraping at it, but your blows are glancing.
I'm on top of him, though.
Yes, you are on top of him.
A feathery ball of rage.
Exactly. But unfortunately, no damage happening. Ziggy, your move.
We're all going to die.
And I immediately go invisible.
Oh, no.
And I'm taken off. In, I guess, just any direction that I think is away from this guy.
Okay, sounds good. Is this just like a normal movement, or are you like dashing?
I think depending on how the mechanics work, the invisibility will likely take the action, so I think just normal movement.
What is that? Is it an
invisibility? It is an action.
It is the invisibility spell? Yeah. That we're using
it
as
acts
a...
the same, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool.
I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Maybe with that attitude.
Okay, so poof, invisible, and I guess that's it for you.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Ziggy.
I'm gonna tap my wrist to just see if I can feel a little better, and get. I think I'm the only one in range now. Yep. 8 temporary hit points.
8 temporary hit points for Ziggy. Okay. Marion, it is your move then.
Do I see Ziggy go invisible?
I think he was on your side of things. I think you would have seen that, yes.
I'm in a panic. Yell, Ziggy! Lady Estrom, Mama always said that you would always be there for us, and if we need you, and I'm going to cast another Sacred Flame.
Another Sacred Flame? Okay, sounds
Dex
good.
Dex save.
Dex save, right. That is on the creature.
14.
That is a 16, unfortunately.
Oh.
Anything else for you, Marion?
No.
No? All right.
Maybe I'll back up a little bit.
Okay. Back up a bit. It is the mound's turn. Now, in the absence of Ziggy, it is going to notice this ball of rage freaking out at him and is going to take a double swipe. That is That is an 18 mm-hmm. and a 24.
Both yes. Ouch. Both
yes. Ouch. It's 21 damage.
Total?
Total. And you're going to be grappled again.
No!
When it hit, when it hits on both slams,
dang it.
You get grappled and enmeshed in the thing.
Okay. 21, you said, right?
Yes. Vines begin to wrap around you. Some thorns catch in the feathers a little bit.
It's okay. I know I'm safe in there.
So far. All right. That is the mound's move. Poco, your move. As this is escape check time.
I can do nothing. 13.
13. I think that is going to just miss plus the escape.
I don't think so.
No. I mean, it's acrobatics.
Oh!
Have you not been adding that anything?
No,
this
but
time?
I've been rolling very low.
Okay.
I had been rolling like fours. So
she did on the first one. Like, it was the eight plus four. That's 12.
Right, okay. Yeah.
It's like I have no way of retconning that for you. We're so many, so many rounds beyond.
So it's 17.
17. You, yeah.
Okay.
You, after spending so much intimate time,
I know it's tricks
in the depths of this creature. Exactly. You're like just.
Nice
wiggle
try.
On out. That is your action, though.
I'm going to use my fighting spirit for the temp hit points, though.
Temp hit points, all right. Plus five, boom. Very nice. And I guess we're back to Ziggy. Ziggy running around invisible.
I'm going to roll to basically see if I have the... I don't know if you want to call it constitution, but wherewithal to actually try to help.
Okay. We can make that a wisdom saving throw. What is that? I mean, just make it, I guess, like a death saving throw. It's just like 10 and up is a success.
That would be a 5.
A 5. You are...
I'm terrified and yeah. I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, being racked with pain. It is, you know, affecting the brain, the motor faculties a little bit. hiding and invisible and... borrowing from Marianne, quaking in your boots.
As a bonus action.
As a bonus action, of course. So with that, we are back to Marianne.
Diggy's invisible, and mm-hmm. Boko's just in and out, and Marianne's gonna mutter under her breath, "Forget it," and I'm gonna raise my quarterstaff, hit it into the ground, and enter my mantle of flame.
All right.
Ooh. Say, I don't care if you don't lack fire. And I'm going to send 3 scorching rays at it.
3 scorching rays? Okay.
Yeah, so 3 individual rolls.
Okay.
22.
Okay.
Nat 20.
Nat 20, all right.
And 19.
19. All 3 are going to hit, and you double your damage dice for one of
pissed.
Them.
Can I say pissed on this podcast?
I think that's fine with me.
Incredibly upset.
Pretty indignant sort of ticked.
10 points of fire damage. Each one adds my charisma modifier because I'm in my mantle of flame.
Did you double the damage for the one of them?
That was for one scorching ray.
Oh.
I'm going to do this
okay,
2 more
gotcha.
Times.
All right. Okay.
What is my charisma modifier?
Plus 2 or plus 3?
Oh, she's scary.
4.
4.
So it's 14 points of fire damage.
Okay.
All right. Oh, 16 points of fire damage.
Okay.
And 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 points of fire damage.
13, Ooh. Give me a second to do some math.
Shooting one after the other. Meanwhile, I'm shedding Bratlat for 30 feet, and I've got these wreaths of fire circling my body. My eyes are black coals.
14, 16, 13?
Yes.
Is that correct? Mm. Let me do some math. Oh my gosh. So what is that? 43 points of damage total. Halved mm-hmm. with the fire resistance.
I know. I had to do it.
Is going to be 2 points more than you need to take it out.
Is Boko okay?
Yeah, boom, no, boom. Boko's
nowhere near. Scorching rage is. Scorching rage, yeah, it's precise.
and it shrivels up. The dark green gives way to not a corrupted black, but a burnt ashen black as it shrivels and dies, collapses right at Boko's feet. Meanwhile, Ziggy is invisible and Marion is still swirling in flame.
I look over to Marion and go, "You're scarier than that thing." And I mean that as a compliment.
Right back at you, Boko.
Where's Ziggy?
I don't know. He just disappeared again.
I'm right here.
Okay. Are you in a tree or something?
Ziggy, you're invisible.
I'm gonna go look for him.
And may I say, there may be a thread here. You freaked me out when you said we were all gonna die, but honestly, you go invisible every time you think we're gonna die. So, is that it, then?
I'm gonna look down at my hands and see if I can tell that I'm invisible. Well, it's actively happening.
When you're invisible, I mean, you can still see your own limbs, your own faculties. Your entire form is invisible, and that...
You need to work on yourself.
You're telling me I'm invisible right now.
Right now, Ziggy. I mean,
how
I assume
do I stop it?
I'm spinning in circles. I don't see you anywhere, so I think you're invisible.
I could just, put some leaves on your head or something, you know? Rub some dirt on your face.
I'll pick up a bunch of leaves and just, and like, drop them on my head.
At least we can see you.
Okay. I think you can end invisibility at will. I think.
I'm going to attempt to do that.
So it's like if you're trying to make yourself not invisible anymore, I think it would work. So,
okay. Oh, there he is.
Poofs into
Ziggy,
existence.
You don't look good.
The dirt worked.
Oh,
you don't. Oh,
no, I'm probably 2 seconds from death's door.
Here, I've got a healing potion.
Me
would
too.
You like it?
I think I'd like just a nap, a really long nap.
Honestly, a nap
I
sounds
have
great.
Wind.
You want to give
like
him
blowing your face.
Oh man.
I think I'm just going to sit here for a bit.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll join you.
Yeah,
So we're going to take a little bit of a short rest to do some of those recoup recharge.
I'll put, like, my cloak around Ziggy's shoulders like a little shock blanket.
Okay. All right, little shock blanket. Very nice.
Pat him on the head.
Is that an improvised weapon?
No. It's for safety. See how it billows?
It is a nice pillow.
Very soothing.
Boko, you're covered in mud.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Actually, that didn't really hurt at all. It just was very annoying.
Oh. Can I do like an insight check to make sure Boko's not undead?
Yeah. Do an insight check.
Or whatever type of check. Oh, no, I think Boko's undead. 5.
Something's off about that one. Don't know what it is, Chief, but
I'm
something's off.
Look between Ziggy and Boko and like nod in Boko's direction.
I definitely
direction.
Have some preening to do.
Little briars are like stuck on your neck, yeah. Sort of thing. Some thorns caught in the wing feathers. Definitely a little worse for wear. But yes, my apologies for the difficulty of that fight, but unfortunately. No. Random encounters. That happens.
Very exciting.
If y'all would like to feel proud, that
I would love to.
Was a challenge rating for a party of 4, one level higher than y'all are.
Whoa. And we were effectively a party of 2.
For a while there, yes. Yes. Especially once it started rolling high on the damage against Ziggy there.
Man.
That became...
Yeah,
oof.
But the multi-attacks.
I was inside of it the whole
time. But yes, I think that was a bit of a long fight.
Yeah.
Y'all are
could definitely
wandering
use
off
a rest.
Definitely.
A little bit away from this place, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all can wander off to a place to find, you know, some relative safety, at least long enough to take a little bit of a breather and get the benefits of a short rest.
I had wanted to, as we were walking, look for signs of the other party. Can
you
I do
did.
That now?
You yeah, you can do that during the short rest. Just kind of take a look around sort of thing. Go ahead and do a perception check for that.
Okay.
12? You're not entirely certain, but you have a decent feeling that the other at least the other party at least hasn't taken the same route that y'all have.
Okay.
It's unlikely that they have encountered the creature that y'all just faced.
Fair point.
But yes, I think we're going to go ahead and wind it down just because that was a bit of a
intense
fight. Yeah. But here you all are wandering off into the gray forest, the shaded forest. I hope did I call it the forest? I call it the wood, didn't I? Wandering off into the gray wood or shaded wood, in search of Enya's sister, and also in search of the Lathor and other members of the initial search party, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoy your short rest.
I will.
We'll carry on into the unknown next time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everyone, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Same as last episode. We've actually moved beyond a year of time of doing this podcast. If you like us, please rate us and review us. Text reviews help us very much on the podcasting platform of your choice. I guess until then, hope you join us next time.
Here's to another year.
Here's to another year, exactly.
Bye.